Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Wow. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, I get really worked up and nervous about coming up before everybody to pray. And I ask God, calm my spirit, calm my heart, help me to be focused on you. And the Holy Spirit was directing me just about how wonderful the name of Jesus is and hear you sing that song. And I'm telling you, people, if you're a visitor, it's not scripted. It's scripted only by God. And you're not here by chance. The world is just in an uproar, and we know it. But the Word of God tells us what time and what hour we live in. And it gives us assurance that He is God and that His Son, Jesus, is the Savior of the world. And that name changed my life. It changed many people's lives here. It is the only name given under heaven which men can be saved. It's the only name that changes a wretch and a terrible, evil person and makes them good. No other religion in the world can claim that. You see the evidence of that in the news. These people kill one another if they have a difference of opinion or a difference of interpretation. But you don't see Methodist or Baptist or somebody going around killing somebody because their view of the scripture is different. We have a wonderful God. Let's praise His name. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you that you are the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Lord, we just praise you. And we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to pay the debt that we could not pay, to pave the way to have a relationship with you, Lord God. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. And Father, as Pastor Cal comes to teach from your word today, quicken your word to our ears, Lord. Quicken them to our heart. Transform our lives that we might be a better witness for you, to share our hope and our faith to the world that's lost and dying and going to hell. So bless Pastor Cal. Anoint him. And the teachers are in the back, and Mike, as he teaches from your word today, may each of us leave this place changed for the good. We give you the praise and thanks. All honor and glory be to the name of Jesus, our Savior. We love you. Amen.
We're going to go ahead and get started. Most of you guys know these faces. You know exactly who this is. And if you don't, we're going to tell you. This is Casey and Wade Rainey. They are missionaries in the Dominican Republic. And they are home stateside. And Second Mile is the first stop you guys are making, right? So how honored are we that they are here to share with us today. They're going to spend a little bit of time telling you about what God's been doing this past year, how He is working through them, what they're currently doing, and things that they have planned ahead in the future. And we're having a bit of a technical difficulty with a video on them. We hope to have that ready at the end to show what a day in their life looks like. So I'm going to hand it on over to Casey and Wade.
All right. Thank you. Awesome. I guess I'm starting. Is that the right mic? Just pull this up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us back. This morning, we just kind of want to focus on some things that are dear to our hearts, but that God has used even in the last year through living in a different place, in a different culture, to kind of change the context of those verses that were already huge for us. So one thing that I think we've learned living in the Dominican Republic from the people there is they have this sense of today may be it. So they live life as if they may not be here tomorrow in everything they do. And the truth is, they may not be here tomorrow because people die of things there that are unheard of in the States. So they live each day, even if something breaks in their house, the mentality for the repair is, let's get it working for now because tomorrow may not matter. Or let me stop and talk to this person today because I may not see them tomorrow. And I really underestimated how different culture would be when we moved to another country. And people told us, like, the foundations and the ways that people live are so different. But we didn't recognize until we were there in a foreign place, in a foreign land with our American background. So the thing about this culture that has been so eye-opening is I think it's helped me realize that as Americans and even as Christians where we live, our sense of security and our sense of invincibility is hindering our faith. And it's hindering our ability to share our faith with other people because we think nothing's going to happen to us, or we have forever, or there's plenty of time, so this person will come along behind me and share their faith. I don't have to do it. Not right now. Like, somebody else is going to come and do that work. And the reality is, there may not be anybody else coming. It may be you in that moment that God needs to use to reach somebody. So even here in Clarksville, what my hope is today is that we'll understand what our command is and we'll have the strength to do what God tells us. So I'm going to read Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It's, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And every time I speak, I say this because these are Jesus's final words to his disciples. He is leaving the earth forever, and this is what he chooses to leave behind to his disciples, which is us. And so he's talking to his disciples in that time, so he's talking to us today. It's the same. And guess who is the rescue plan? Guess why Jesus is saying this? Because the rescue plan for the world falls on who? Us, the church. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but I need you to do this. And the fate of the world hinges on you doing your job. And if that early church, if those early believers had said, I'm too scared for that. There's time. Wait, that makes me uncomfortable. We wouldn't know Jesus today. The gospel would have never gotten to us. So I want us to have perspective to see that he's talking to us today. And if the early church had been too scared, too comfortable, too disobedient to go and share, that we wouldn't know Jesus because of that. So one example I like to give is rescuing. So I think one thing that we forget is following Jesus requires sacrifice, right? And that's one thing that we've learned this year especially. But rescuing others means that we have to sacrifice something, that everybody has to sacrifice something. So the example I like to have in my head, and I think it's very evident in the Dominican Republic, is if someone is drowning and I'm standing on the shore and I see them drowning, am I going to stand there? Or am I going to run home and call Cal and say, Cal, somebody's drowning. I need you to save them. Right? Because Cal can't do it all. And so he's equipping you to go and save people. And so when that person in your neighborhood is drowning, you got to jump in. Or that person in your family is drowning, you got to jump in. And it's time that we get off the sidelines. And so we're going back to the Dominican Republic. But my charge for you, church, is where are you going here after we leave this place? Again, following Jesus requires sacrifice. Believing is wonderful. And believing is part of it. But if all we do is believe, we don't share with others. There's an action part to this too. This journey has taught us that. It has taught us that sacrifice leads us to dependence on the Lord. Because when we have sacrificed a culture, a world that we know, we've sacrificed a language, we've sacrificed time with our family and our friends, our life has required us to learn a new way of living, a new language, a new people group. It has been scary. It has been so unfamiliar, but it has been worth it. And so I want to encourage you to get out of your comfort zone, and it is going to be terrifying. And there are going to be moments where you feel like you don't have the words or you don't know what to do, and God is going to show up so big. We don't have the words a lot of the time, and I have a lot of words.
I have a little less words.
I have a lot of words. I have a lot of words. But in these moments of sacrifice, we have learned that when you are somewhere and everything is unfamiliar and new, you have to depend on the Lord. And I thought I depended on the Lord before we left, but I didn't. I depended on what I had been taught in this country of, if there's a problem, I can call this person and get it fixed. Or I've got my retirement plan to fall back on. Or if this happens, like, I've got this friend that's going to show up. And now we have to trust and know that God is going to show up. Because all those people that have rescued us in those moments are no longer around. And God will show up. I'm hoping that we get to show the video at the end, because one thing I was going to say is this year has looked nothing like we expected it to, honestly. Okay, we got the video. But this video and all of you are proof that God is working. So even in those moments that we have been like, what are we doing? And our lives there have looked so different, and our ministries right now have looked different than the original plan when we went. We're able, I think, being home this summer especially, to step back and go, oh, God has been in it all, and he's been working, and he's been bringing people to join us on the field and to be part of what we're doing. So even in those moments of doubt and fear and question, like, you guys are proof that he is in it all. And your encouragement shows us that, like, he's behind us and that we need to keep going. So don't underestimate your role in this either. Because we've gone and we have you here as a lifeline, it means everything. So I'm gonna end with this, and then Wade's gonna kind of pick up. I lost my place. Sorry, that's what happens when I cry.
Doesn't happen often.
I know. Okay, so I'm gonna circle back around to just the last part of that verse, and I want to just reiterate: the early church wasn't scared. They didn't choose to be comfortable. They didn't choose to fall back on their plans and their people. They went and they made disciples. And we know Jesus because of that. We know Jesus because they did the work first. We don't have to be scared, guys. We don't have to be scared. And the scripture tells us that. And in the moments of fear, I want you to remember these words. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So make the sacrifice. Go and share the greatest news, and trust that God is with you. Okay, so where do we go?
It's a great question. Maybe I'll pick up on that. I'm going to sit down, if that's okay with everybody else, and give Casey a break too. I don't know if I'll get as many words in as she did, but I'll do my best. So where do we go? Don't freak out, everybody. I'm not going to tell you have to come to the Dominican Republic. You don't have to move to a foreign country. I do believe Scripture points to the fact that we're all called to go somewhere. And everybody gets nervous when I say that. Oh, no, where? What do you mean? What do you mean? Like I said, I'm not saying you have to move to the DR. But I think Scripture points to the fact that we're all called to go somewhere, but at the same time, support God's work everywhere. And if we look at the early church, Casey mentioned the early church in Acts. In Acts chapter 1, it's kind of like a continuation of Luke's gospel. You've got, the setting is, it's after the resurrection. So Jesus is with his followers, but before the ascension. So he's given the Great Commission, and this is kind of like the to-be-continued portion, a little bit more final of his final words. So if we look at Acts 1:8, it's a popular verse, but I'm going to read that. And it says, "If you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So in verses 1 through 7, Luke's given the background of, like, hey, in my last book, I told you about all this stuff that Jesus did. I told you who he was. I told you that he was the savior of the world. And this is what he said right before he left. I'm going to read it one more time and just give you a little emphasis. So Jesus is talking to his followers, the early church, the beginning, the very beginning of the early church. So he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," which was right where they were in that moment, "and in all Judea and Samaria," so those were the neighboring regions, "and the ends of the earth." I think that kind of speaks for itself, what the ends of the earth were. In that time, it talks about taking the gospel to the Gentiles, but basically anything outside of Judea and Samaria. So I think if we look at those individually, I think we can look at it a little bit literally. I think most of us have probably heard this example before, but if we take Jerusalem, we're in Clarksville right now, Clarksville could be our Jerusalem. Judea and Samaria could be Nashville, surrounding cities in the state, and then you've got the ends of the earth. As I was reading through this, I'd heard scholars point to that before and feel like that's a really good example. But I read some other commentaries that took a little different spin on it, that talked about Jerusalem being just your people and your family. So looking at it instead of like geographically, more relationally. So Jerusalem could be your family, your people, your city. Judea could be your neighbors. Samaria, if you know the history between Samaria and Jerusalem, there was a little bit of animosity. Checkered, right? So I read a scholar point out that it could be that Jesus not only talking about geographically going there, but taking the gospel to the people that aren't our people, to the people that might be considered enemies, the people that don't look at things exactly like we do. Man, that's so easy for me. Is that easy for y'all? No, it's not at all. So how do we do that? We have these places that we feel like God's called us to go, but how do we do that? I think if we look back at the Great Commission, again, people a lot smarter than me that look at the Greek and all that kind of stuff. The command is make disciples. That's the main command. And yes, it says go, but I think if we look at it, not we, the people way smarter than me that looked at it, said it kind of means as you're going. We're all going somewhere. We're going to our family. We're going to our neighbors. We're coming to church. We're going to work. So as we're going, we need to take Jesus with us. For us, we're in the DR. For you guys, it's Clarksville. Maybe it is the DR. You can talk to us about that.
We hope it is.
But one thing I feel like that God laid on my heart as I read through this is I think we're all called to play a part in each region, in each Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Did everybody that Jesus was talking to in that moment stay in Jerusalem? Did everybody go to Judea and Samaria? This participation is awesome. I love it. I don't have to answer the questions. And I think this is the easiest, but did everybody go to the ends of the earth? No. But they all sacrificed and supported each other in one way or the other for the sake of the gospel spreading. I'm sure there were believers in Jerusalem who prayed for the people in Judea and Samaria. There were probably believers in Judea and Samaria that they helped financially send people to the ends of the earth. We know Paul went to the Gentiles, so at that point would be considered the ends of the earth. And he was supported by other disciples and believers. But he also wrote letters to churches. He thanked God for them. He encouraged them. He visited them. So everyone everyone in each region in that verse supported each other. And just what a picture for me is just the body of Christ and the church, the people of God. How one part, with one body, but each part has its role. For a sports guy like me, it's one team where every player has their own role. And I think like the early church in Acts, God asks us to come alongside him in his work around the world, regardless of where we are physically. In our case, God's called us to go to the ends of the earth. Maybe not quite the ends of the earth, across the ocean. And use the skills he's given us to serve in the Dominican Republic. So for those of you who don't know, Casey and I are physical therapists. So we're using those skills that God's given us to serve there. We're also serving through youth sports outreach as an avenue for the gospel. Casey's serving through Women's Rescue Ministry. And yeah, we're physically there, but like Casey said, we can't go without the support of churches and people like you. And you guys have done that. You guys have done that from day zero, because before we even started, Second Mile was behind us, and we felt it, and we have felt it since the beginning. And just the words thank you don't do it justice. But we are so grateful to God for you all and for the way that he has brought you alongside us. But just like we're talking about how everybody plays a role, we want to be able to help and serve and encourage you all too. Like, it goes both ways, that our Jerusalem may be your ends of the earth, but we all have the same goal, and that's for people to know Jesus, right? And support each other's work so that more people can meet Jesus. So if you don't hear anything else, hear this, that as you guys have been here for us, we want to be here for you. I hope that when we're here, we're a little bit of an encouragement to us, to you. If you can put up with my terrible speaking up here, that hopefully I just need to let her say it all. You know what I mean? So much better. But seriously, true. Man, if there's one thing I've learned being a missionary is that I am human, for sure. Like I said, we just want to be able to encourage you guys some. Come alongside you guys when we're here. Also know that when we're not here, like, y'all are on our hearts. We're praying for you guys. We're thinking about you guys. And if you have questions about anything, we're literally open books here for you. Maybe too open, so be careful what you ask. And for us, some of you guys know our story. Our story started like 10 years ago, maybe a little over 10 years ago now, when we were at a church. We were living outside of Nashville, south of Nashville, and saw a family be commissioned to go overseas to serve in Nicaragua, I believe it was. And that was so new to us. We didn't really know, even though we grew up in the church, like, God's heart for the world was just like not on my radar, not on either of our radar. But that sparked something in us. And looking back, it was the Holy Spirit for sure planting the seed for missions. And it was in a service just like this. So if there's somebody out there that's like, man, this may be something that's on my heart. Maybe it's been on my heart. Maybe God's growing this in my heart. Talk to us. We're here. We're here for you. Find Pastor Cal if we're not here, and you can find a way to get in touch with us. We want you to know that we're here for you guys too. We're going to do the video, but I just want to say this at the end. So we're here for you, just like you guys have been here for us. And we just want to be able to spur each other on as we're going, as the Great Commission said, just for the sake of the gospel. So thank y'all again, as always, for having us. Thanks for putting up with listening to me speak up here. And we want to be able to share a little bit of what a day in our life looks like. We had some friends who were on another level as far as we're not creative at all, but they are, and they volunteered their time and talents to come and just video and show what a day in our life looks like so that we could share it with other people. And hopefully more people are aware of, again, not what we're doing there, what God is doing there. And he is just using us as a vessel, and we're grateful to be a part of it. So we're going to watch that, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, and then we'll tell y'all how you can get involved. God began tugging at our hearts and planted a seed for missions that we had no idea would grow and develop into this. We are the Rainey family. I'm Casey and my husband Wade. We have three children: Mason, who is our oldest daughter, she's 10 years old, Mills, our middle daughter, who is 8 years old, and Madden, our youngest little boy, who is 7. We are currently living and serving in the Dominican Republic as missionaries. And our journey to this place began 10 years ago. We arrived in the Dominican Republic in August of 2023, and our kids started school at Las Palmas Christian School, which has been a huge blessing for our family. They are there with kids each day, and they are learning and growing and doing the normal things that you would do in school, but they also have an opportunity to walk alongside other kids who are coming to know Christ. They've learned and grown so much, and they've built sweet relationships with new friends and experienced new things, and watching God grow in their hearts has really been something special.
The Dominican Republic is located on the island of Hispaniola. It borders Haiti. San Pedro de Macorís is in the southeastern corner on the coast. We're about an hour east of the capital of Santo Domingo. The national religion of the Dominican Republic is Roman Catholicism, and that religion influences culture so much here and has for so many years. You will meet many people who say that they are Catholic, but most of the time they do not have a relationship with Jesus. They most likely don't attend church, but they would all say that they're Catholic. One huge aspect of our ministry here and focus is discipleship, because so many people here don't have that personal relationship with Jesus.
One thing we're realizing that's a big gap because of the national religion being Roman Catholic is the understanding of grace. And so one thing we really try hard to extend and to educate people on is that Jesus died for all of us, and we're all sinners, and we all need his grace. Our church here in San Pedro de Macorís is EBUM. It is kind of the foundation for all of our ministries. It was the first location for ministry here, and it is the home base for which all the other ministries extend out into the community. It's an incredible place, and we are watching people grow in their faith. We are experiencing God move in new and incredible ways, and really just feeling at home with this new church family in this new country, in this new place.
So coming to the Dominican Republic, we felt like God had called us here to use the skills he had given us. One is physical therapist, two, our experience through sports, just to make more of him here. Our plan is to have a clinic in the church to serve people on our team, people who are able to physically and financially come to us to help their physical needs, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. Pray with patients, share the gospel with them, invite them into church, which I feel like is the reason that God has given us the skills that he has. Our heart is also to go to the people that can't get to us, the people that don't have access to good medical care and don't have access to the gospel. Our heart is to go to them in the same way, use our skills to help them physically, but also pray with them and share the gospel with them to give them spiritual healing that ultimately is above all else.
One of these neighborhoods is called the Envy neighborhood, and our home church, EBUM, has recently planted a chapel there. It's a small church service that takes place on Sunday nights, and they have a Bible study on Thursday nights as well. And they walk around and invite people from the community to come to a home that's there that they're renting. They sit in a garage, they pull out plastic chairs, they worship, they study the Bible, and they just do community together. So we're hoping to start going to this community through this chapel plant and serve the people. We want to be consistent in our medical care. We want them to know that we're coming and we're going to be back. So we're really dreaming and praying about maybe going there one day a week, setting up a clinic space in the church, and just being available to the people. We can serve them medically, and we can use our skills as physical therapists, but we also are looking just to engage with the kids and play with them in the parking lots and be in the street and just share the hope and love of Jesus. So please pray along with us for that opportunity, for that neighborhood and for other neighborhoods where we can begin to serve medically, but also just share the hope of Christ as well.
I grew up playing sports. I love sports. I love working with kids. That is one thing that I'm so excited about doing here, specifically with baseball. Baseball is such a huge part of my story growing up. It was my life growing up. And it took God taking baseball away from me and me running to so many other things to find my identity for me to understand that. But thank God he came back to me. He was waiting for me. He redeemed my life, number one, but also redeemed my relationship with baseball to a point where I'm excited to be able to use that here as an opportunity to point to him. Almost every boy that grows up in the Dominican Republic has the dream of playing in the major leagues one day. But so many times, so many kids, the majority of kids don't make it. And they give up school, they give up education, they give up their life for baseball. And then at 16, 17 years old, baseball is gone and they have literally nothing to fall back on. Their identity is so wrapped up in baseball that they don't even know where to turn. And my heart is to share that God has them. Their identity can be in Christ and not in baseball, and that is all that they need. I've been going with the pastor from the church to visit the baseball academy once a week, and we've been able to grow relationships with them, share scripture with them, and encourage them. And I'm hoping to implement an injury prevention program through physical therapy to help the team. So many times these kids get injured, and because everything in their life hangs on baseball, once they're injured, sometimes baseball's over immediately. And they have no education. They have nothing to fall back on. So even just the opportunity to implement an injury prevention program to hopefully cut down on these injuries, to not only allow them to play baseball longer and enjoy what they're doing, but just an opportunity to love them as Christ would love them.
I'm serving with Mercy Workshop, a women's rescue ministry here in the Dominican Republic that provides a safe place and a job for women who need to get off the streets. This organization is really close to my heart because as a mom, I understand how hard it is to love and care for your kids, but I have no idea the different circumstances that these women come from. These women are being moms, and for us as an organization to have an opportunity to go into the streets and love on these women and share their stories and encourage them has been really amazing and eye-opening for me. We go and we invite these women into the church. We invite them to be part of a program that loves them, that honors them, that provides a job and a way for them to provide for their families. They come each day to the workshop, and there's usually a devotion. There are people there to welcome them, and then they work. And their work in the workshop is making jewelry. Most of that jewelry is sold in the States for a profit, and that profit is what keeps the workshop open and running. More and more women are growing in their faith and getting baptized and even sticking around and serving within the ministry. They're helping us lead other women just like them to Christ. They're showing them the fruits of a life that is grounded in faith. Another way we're serving here through sports is through a youth soccer league. We've had so much fun coaching a team of 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. Our daughter is playing on our team, Mills, and she has had a blast and learned and grown so much. Our son Madden is actually also playing, but on another team. He wanted to be with a different coach. But watching them grow and learn in soccer has been so much fun, as well as watching them learn and grow again in their faith. So through this soccer league, we are teaching skills of soccer and logistics and how to play the game. But more than that, we're spending time teaching them the overlap between sports and the Bible, and how so much of what we learn and talk about in the Bible is about our attitude and changing our lives to look like Jesus, and how that means our lives look different on the soccer field, in the streets, in the grocery store, wherever we are. So it's been really cool to use soccer to engage the kids and have fun, but also share principle and truths from the Bible and talk through how those overlap with a sport such as soccer. So how can you get involved? Our prayer is that God in some way will tug at your hearts to help us serve here in the Dominican Republic. You can pray. We need all the prayer that we can get. So if you would commit to praying for us daily or weekly, that would be huge. You can become a financial partner, either by monthly donations or a one-time gift, and you can come. We have mission teams coming often every year. So if you would like to get on a mission trip, we would love to have you. One thing we are planning for and praying through is having medical teams come one day. So if you are a medical professional wanting to use your skills overseas, we would love for you to follow along and stay in touch. We would love to have you join one of those medical trips. We also have other teams who come, short-term mission teams. We would love for you to come and see firsthand where your donation is going and how God is working and using those things here.
Some other ways we would love for you guys to be praying for us. One is just protection for our family, spiritual protection from the enemy. We realize being here and doing what we're doing, it's a constant struggle. Also, just endurance. Living cross-culturally and doing ministry is hard. We just need prayer just to endure each day, that God would give us the strength to get through each day and that He would work through our weakness. Also, one other huge prayer request is we would ask you please pray for building and growing relationships with Dominicans here in San Pedro. The culture here, Caribbean, Latin culture, is so relational. the more relationships we are able to build, the more time we're able to put into relationships, the more opportunities we're going to have to share the love of Christ and speak life and share life with other people here. Sometimes I feel like we shouldn't say anything after that video because they did such a good job. So I just want to give you a quick update. So when was that finished? In February? No. March. So a couple things we mentioned in there, just things have, you know, taken off even since then. So one thing specifically, I talked about a discipleship group with a baseball academy there, which is basically a group of guys that train together and practice every day. So I'm going with Pastor Doug. He's the pastor of the chapel, the small church you saw there where we met in the garage. So we're meeting one every Wednesday, just sharing with them, discipling with them, loving them well, just building relationships with them. When I get back, we're going to start like a small group discipleship with three or four of the guys, so hopefully they can continue it on. I was able to implement the injury prevention program, so they're doing that at practice, which has been awesome just to see that. You want to tell what you've been doing at Mercy?
Yes, so I'm at Mercy Workshop one day a week. Y'all saw the amazing ladies that I get to share time with. And one thing that I'm doing there, the good thing is I just get to show up and have fun because I'm not in charge of anything. So I say that my role there is just to boost morale and have fun and take a break from working and jewelry making. And so one thing we're focusing on while I'm there is doing some stretching and some strengthening things. And I'm helping educate them on basic health things. And when I say basic, the education that we have here, we so take for granted. Like, we started with drinking water. Like, how important it is to drink water and how much of our bodies are made up of that. Because they had no clue. And all they drink is juice and coffee, which it's 110 degree heat index. And you sweat all day. So everybody walks around dehydrated and with kidney problems. And so just something as simple as our bodies are made up of water and this is how much you need. And so now I'm like the water police. I walk in and I'm like, does everybody have their water? And they all just like run to the fridge. But it's been really fun just like teaching them stretches for their spine and their body mechanics because they sit and make jewelry each day. And we've talked about hand washing and stretches for strengthening, and we're doing some things for their back to hopefully prevent some back pain. And then one thing we're talking about is just the importance of getting up and moving, just moving our bodies. And so what we do for that is we usually dance. Somebody puts on merengue or these type of musics that they have, and they basically laugh at me because I can't move the way they do. But apparently the test for me at Mercy will be one day, if I can merengue the way that they do, I'll be accepted. So just know, if y'all could pray for my hips to become more Dominican and less American, that would be wonderful. I'm getting there.
You are getting there. I've seen progress. But anyway, another thing that was huge, again, the small chapel that I referenced earlier where we were discipling baseball players. The team from Second Mile came when they came at the end of February, right? Was it the end of February? Seems like it was, in one way, it seems like it was 10 years ago. In one way, it seems like it was yesterday. But one thing that they did when they came is had a program for the kids. There hasn't been a continuous children's program for that chapel. It just kicked off in October of last year, and they've just been trying to build relationships and get more people to come. But there hasn't really been much for the kids. So one thing that they did was we put on a program for the kids, almost like a little Sunday school VBS class. The kids loved it.
We had so many kids show up. None of them have come back.
Yeah. So y'all have to come back again.
Because, so if y'all prayed for this group, can we pray for them to come back?
But from that, the pastor was like, man, we need to get something going on for the kids. So, he approached us and a couple other people within the church. So, I think it was two Sundays ago, we kicked off the official children's program at that chapel. With a few of us alternating weeks to serve the kids there. But again, there haven't been as many, so you guys got to come back and bring more. But on that note, the group that came from Second Mile, man, what a blessing they were to us, a blessing to each and every ministry there. I know that
they got to see God at work there. We got to see God use them. And one thing that we discounted and didn't realize how much we needed was just encouragement for ourselves and like our family and our kids, and just how much them being there blessed us selfishly, and how God used them to encourage us and just come alongside us. And again, just thank you doesn't do it justice, but the impact that you guys made was unbelievable. And we can't wait for y'all to come back. I already saw the sign up. It's getting ready. Yes. Who wants to come and visit? You can just make me feel good and raise your hand. You don't have to. You know, it's okay. It's okay.
Even if you don't.
Again, everybody's got a role. Everybody's got a role. It's okay.
Okay, so real quick, we're going to finish with just how can you get involved? And we kind of mentioned that on the video. But one way is pray. Please just continue praying for us. We have prayer magnets on the table that you can grab on the way out. Please, one per family to go on your fridge. And just remember to pray for us. There are also some business cards out there that have a QR code that will take you to our website where you can get more information. You can also point other people to that website if they want more information. You can also give directly from that website. So if you would like to make a one-time donation, that helps us so much with just unexpected things. If you would like to partner with us as a monthly donor, that allows us to buy groceries and pay rent and all those things. We will never make a dollar in country in the Dominican Republic. We are 100% support raised. So you guys being part of that financial team keeps us there. And we want to be there so y'all can keep coming and visiting. So take a card and a prayer magnet on the way out. We also just made some new t-shirts and sweatshirts and things that are on our website. So you can now shop on our website for some fun things to wear and represent us here in Clarksville. If you would like to make out a check, you can make out a check to our sending agency. It's called Daystar Baptist Missions. So checks need to be made out to them and with Wade and Casey Rainey in the four line. And then if you ever, even if we're not here, if somebody has a check, Doe and Bobby know how to get that to us. So
that's Mike and
sorry,
Donna.
Mike and Donna Rainey. Mike and Donna Rainey know how to reach us. And get checks to our sending agency. So that's another option. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being here, for supporting us, for being part of our team. We can't do this without a team and without you. So we're grateful. We're grateful that you're part of our journey.
Thank y'all.
I just want you all to know, if you haven't sensed it, this is a special family. They are both physical therapists, and they could have remained in Nashville and helped fund anything they wanted to do. Physical therapists do really well up in Nashville, and they didn't give all of that up because they're using that skill and those talents for Jesus full-time down in the Dominican, at least when they get the clinic open. But she mentioned sacrifice. Hello? That's what this is all about, getting the gospel to people. And I was so thankful to hear their heart. I shared with Wade beforehand, my mom and dad, you know, were medical missionaries. And my mom and dad's, and Susan's mom and dad, their headstone reads Matthew 28:19-20. That's what this is all about. That's what this life is all about. And so I'm grateful for this wonderful family. And I told them at the banquet Friday night, what really impacted me, a lot of things did, but what really spoke to me was their three kids. Mason, Mills, Madden, y'all come up here. Woo-hoo! One afternoon we went out and in the streets, you know, and began to witness and meet people and just talk to folks. And I want to tell you, these three little evangelists, if we hadn't had, because all I could say in Spanish was taco, enchilada, and burrito. And so we went to the park. We went several places together, and they were just a huge blessing to me in my life. And when we first got to the airport, they met us there, and little Mills ran up to me and gave me a hug, and she whispered in my ear, she said, "I'm getting baptized this week, but don't tell Doe and don't tell Bobby." They wanted it to be a surprise, but the baptismal service that week, I'll never forget it. It was outdoors, outside, all the Dominicans. There were other Dominicans being baptized along with Mills that day, but it, you know, and they were all singing in Spanish, "I have decided to follow Jesus." I'll never forget it. And I want to encourage some of you all to pray about going. Let's see, 1, 2, 3 amens. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, but we can all pray, and we can all help them stay there with our gifts, and we can go down there on a mission trip. And by the way, I just wanted to thank our banquet team. We had a DR Vision banquet Friday night, and Melanie Boisall chaired that committee. And they did a fantastic job. I don't know if you all have heard about the mission house they're building down there. They needed about $50,000 to finish it. And I think, y'all, we're probably going to be real close to taking up $50,000 last Friday. And so our teams will have a place to stay instead of paying the big bucks to stay at the hotel. So it's really going to be good. And I'm just so thankful for this church. I'm like Wade and Casey. Mercy. What a wonderful group of people you all are. And we just need to stay faithful and keep getting the gospel to people like we're doing. And any questions for them? They're going to be in the back right after we say amen. To answer, but if y'all have got a burning question on your heart, you can ask it right now. Anybody? Okay.
In Clarksville? Till Wednesday. Well, in America, about 4 weeks, but we're bouncing around Clarksville, Nashville, Winchester, Casey's hometown. We're all over. Hendersonville also, where we live last.
We're doing kind of a week each place. So a week in Clarksville, week in Hendersonville, week in Nashville, weekend in Winchester. And then... you can tell them.
Then we're gonna go to Lego.
We're taking a family vacation.
Yeah. This year we factored in a family vacation on the end, and the kids are very excited.
Anything else? I hope y'all get to know them. But you know what I'm thinking about? If God would call the Rainies, I believe He's calling some of you all here. We're all supposed to be missionaries. Jesus is a missionary. He left heaven and came to earth. Aren't you glad He left heaven and came here? And you may be here this morning and you may be thinking, well, how in the world can I go to the mission field? How can I do missions? You can do it right there in your neighborhood, right there in your community. Or maybe God's, you know, doing a little bit more than that. You're not sure. Maybe God's calling somebody here to be an evangelist or a pastor or a preacher or a worship leader or something of that nature, or a missionary. God's still in the business of calling people out. And I believe He doesn't judge His church by our seating capacity. He judges us by our sending capacity. And who we're sending out and what we're doing. So just be thinking about that. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we make something so hard out of this. It is easy to understand. It didn't come cheaply. Jesus paid for our sins with His life. Went to an old, cruel cross after having lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years. And that's how He was able to take my sin and the rainy sins and all of our sins to the cross. And He paid for every single one of those. So it's possible to have your sins forgiven. But in order for that to take place, you've got to be willing to surrender to Him. And by the way, He's not dead.
He's alive forevermore. He got up from the grave 3 days later. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ as your only means of salvation and surrender to Him, you know what He'll do? He will receive you and He'll come in and He'll give you a brand spanking new life. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. Hallelujah. Let's just all bow our heads. Father, I don't know how You're speaking to people here today, but we don't want to miss an opportunity. And so, Father, during the quietness and stillness of this moment, maybe you're dealing with somebody here about salvation, and today is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, if you'd just be willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I desperately need Jesus to forgive me. And I'm so desperate, I'm willing to surrender my life, whatever time I have left, to You. Make me into the kind of person You want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed something like that today, we want to know about it because you've begun a brand new life. And we're going to ask you in just a minute to just come. And we'll get some stuff in your hands. We'll help you get started right. And then maybe you're here and you're sensing God's calling you to something and you don't know what it is. We want to help you with that as well. Father, during this time of reflection and examination, I pray, God, that You would raise up some missionaries, some pastors and preachers, some doctors and some professional people. And then, Lord, that You'd raise up just some electricians and plumbers and carpenters, folks who can go to the mission field. You do what You want to do here just now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're dealing with any of that stuff, I want to ask you to just come. Let's all stand to our feet. Andrew, you play something, would you? And y'all come. In the quietness and stillness of this moment, as You're dealing with people's hearts, I just thank You, Lord, for using us for Your honor and praise and glory. Thank You for the Rainies that are pointing people to Jesus in the Dominican Republic. And God, help us do the same where we are right here. Help us, Father. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your patience and Your faithfulness and Your grace and mercy in our lives. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.